Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good
morning. I'm still trying to figure out how that song connects to my sermon.
You'll make it work.
Figure out a way to make it fit somehow. All right, it is great to see everybody here this morning. Gathered in under this nice tent in this beautiful weather that we're having to worship the Lord, to hear from His Word, to be strengthened in our faith, to encourage one another. That's what the church does. The church has a great ministry and a calling in the world. It's to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to a world that doesn't know it, doesn't hear it, doesn't understand it, but needs it desperately. And so our gathering here, our doing what God has called us to do, is of the greatest importance. It is essential business. And so I'm glad that you're able to be here. I'm glad that there are many who are participating online, because the church goes on through everything, right until the end. That's who we are called to be. Today I have a rhetorical question. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27 is one of those great passages of Scripture. And I'll read just a few lines from it, but David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Whom shall I fear?" Fear is a very useful thing. It can keep us from doing things that are dumb and will harm us. Amen? I mean, it's one of those things that we have. When we see a danger, there's something about us, we realize, okay, then wait, if I get too close to this thing, I could fall off and then I could die. So I need to be a little bit afraid of that. It keeps me from actions that would be dangerous to myself, to my person. And so there is a usefulness to fear. We hear a lot about fear in our culture today. Fear of climate change. Fear of war, fear of unrest, domestic unrest, fear of pandemic, fear of economic collapse, fear for the next generation, fear, fill in the blank. We are in a time in our culture when fear is a dominant feature of the landscape. And I don't think I have to really convince you of that. Yet in the Bible, there seems to be this very consistent theme regarding fear. And that theme is this: fear is often portrayed as the opposite of faith. Fear is often portrayed as the opposite of faith. And the righteous person is one who does not fear, but instead has faith and trust in God. Faith is of the highest value, and fear is inconsistent with faith. This week, I spent a lot of time thinking about this concept of fear, and I read almost every passage in the Bible using a good concordance that had to do with fear or being afraid. And I want to share with you a few thoughts this morning about this topic of whom shall I fear. Please have your Bibles ready. Be ready to look up some of these passages, and some of them you may look up later and reflect on and pray through. Let's pray now as we begin our study. Our Lord in heaven, we come before you this morning, gathered here on the lawn of this property that you own. It belongs to you, just like the cattle on a thousand hills. We're in this place to worship you and learn from you. And this morning, Lord, as we are gathered September 6, 2020, at a time when fear is so rampant in our culture, and it's even threatening our own hearts, those who know you, I pray that you'll help us to learn how to live with the concerns, the dangers, the threats that we see around us in a way that pleases you and that is worthy of a faithful people. So be with us this morning as we study your word. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Several things that I've organized this message around, a few kind of general things that in the Bible you see people asking, should I fear this? And so the first one, I'm going to work through like three or four or five of these. The first one is, should I fear serving God? The answer is no. The young protege of Timothy was needing some encouragement. And Paul wrote him his second letter. And in the beginning of that second letter, he makes this important little phrase. This young man who was sent to a difficult ministry assignment in Ephesus where there's heresy running around. There's some discord happening. And he's there to put things in order before Paul comes. And Paul, in the second letter, writes to Timothy. He says in verse 6 of chapter 1, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." You see, Timothy needed to hear that he's supposed to minister to God's people in a sense where he's not worried about it. One of the greatest fears of every human being is public speaking. Amen? Anybody get that, right? They say it's still right up there, maybe the top of getting up in front of speaking to a bunch of other people. It causes fear to come into our hearts. And even experienced people who speak in front of crowds, they say you should be concerned about the time when you don't get any kind of little thing in your stomach before you get up to speak. Because that means you may, not have a healthy kind of sense of what it is to speak in front of God's people. And Paul tells Timothy, though, listen, you've been given these gifts and God is with you, and fan into flame that gift, realizing that God will be with you. It's God's gifts that he gave to you, and he gave you not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. Should I fear serving God's people when sometimes it can be hard, when God's people don't want to go where God wants them to go? Just ask Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, any of those prophets, whether they struggle with that. The answer is yes. We can often say it's hard, but it's something we should not fear. Bergen preached on Joshua chapter 1, where that famous passage where Joshua takes over from Moses, and the great refrain over and over again is, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. I will be with you," says God. Should I fear my enemies? I mean, literally, people who are trying to kill me. We live in a time where we might think, well, I don't really have that many enemies, but the psalmist lived in a different time. He lived in a time when there were people actually out to get him. And David, this passage in Psalm 27 that is attributed to David, he talks about this. I've got my enemies that are chasing me down. Should I be afraid of them? And that's what he says in verses 1 through 3. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When those evildoers assail me, when they attack me, when they rise up against me, they're the ones that will stumble and fall. I will not be afraid. And though an army encamp against me, a whole army, my heart shall not fear. I'll be confident because God will be with me. Should I fear natural disaster? Ultimately, no. In Matthew chapter 8, there's a great story of Jesus on a boat with his disciples. Do you remember that story? When there's a storm that arises up, and the disciples get freaked out. Jesus responds in a very interesting way. Verse 23 of chapter 8 of Matthew, it says, "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' Then he rose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him?'" Should I fear persecutors? You know, Christians in North America have been kind of raising this question: are we in for, in the future, a season of persecution? And I think that there's a good reason to be asking those kinds of questions. When you compare it to what's going on in Iran and other places, it doesn't look as bad at all as what they're experiencing, but still, is the secular culture getting ready to really clamp down on Christians? I think that's very much a possibility. But Jesus explicitly says, "You will not fear your persecutors." In chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 28, after talking about the fact that persecution will come, he says, "Listen, there will be people who deliver you over to, your brother will deliver brother over to death, the father his child, and so forth and so on. Persecution is coming." But then in verse 26, he says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground and apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Don't stop proclaiming my name, he says. You get some opposition, don't be afraid. Don't stop doing God's work. What I've told you in secret, you will proclaim from the mountaintops. What's whispered to you or told at night, you will say during the daytime. You keep getting your message out there, and don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid. How about this? Should I fear a deadly plague? How about this? Should I fear a global pandemic? The answer is no. The answer is no. Psalm 91 lists off many things that are troubling the psalmist. And he asks the question, is God with us even in those times? And he lists out and refers specifically to a deadly pestilence. Verse 3 of chapter 91, or Psalm 91, "For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions," that's his wings. "Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked." And he goes on and on and on in this psalm. God will deliver you from all kinds of perils, including a deadly pestilence. Only trust in him. Don't fear the pestilence that stalks in the night. That thing that you can't see. Don't fear it. God will deliver you. We could go on and on and on, but I think you get the point. This is the biblical theme throughout, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is that the righteous person does not fear, does not live in fear, does not live as someone who doesn't know the one true God who is above all things and all powerful. No, the Bible says the one thing that you should fear is this. Whom shall I fear? Should I fear God? Now, that was kind of a trick question, isn't it? On the one hand, we should not fear God in the sense that He is not against us and He does not desire our destruction. And if we are in Christ, perfect love, the love that we have experienced in Christ, drives out fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 specifically says, listen, we don't have to be fearful on the day of God's coming because, well, we're with Him. And He's taking care of that which we would normally be afraid of. He says in verse 18 of chapter 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us, and so forth. And so, in a sense, no, we don't fear God. But the big message throughout the Bible is there is such a thing as a healthy fear of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. In the sense of that, we view God as our highest and greatest love. He is the one above all other things that we have on our mind and our heart, and that we want to obey Him above any other commitment that we have in our life. He is the one who deserves all of our devotion, all of our love and obedience. So in that sense, in the biblical sense of fearing God, holding Him in awe, in highest respect and obedience, yes, we should fear Him. And we should fear Him alone. So many of you are wondering, well, okay, Darren, let's get practical here. Thank you for the generic, general platitudes about not fearing. But what does that mean for me today as I go home? Should I put my seatbelt on? Should I lock my door tonight? Should I fill in the blank? Well, before I get to that, let me make a distinction that I think is important. There's a difference between being startled and afraid. Now, my kids recently have kind of, well, the youngest ones especially, not the older ones. Behind the door, dad's coming out, maybe he hasn't had coffee yet, okay? Poof, you know, something like that. Oh, I scared you. Like, no, okay, I was not afraid of you. I was startled, yes, but there's a difference. So when something happens to us that the fear response kicks in, it's something that potentially could be dangerous, we have this startling, we have this immediate fear. And that, as I said at the beginning, I think that's the kind of the good thing that God has put into us as human beings in a fallen world. We are aware of our surroundings that could harm us. But when I say we should not fear, I believe it's a deeper fear. It's a deeper sense of agitation and concern that's unhealthy and debilitating and paralyzing and negative. I think that's the fear that the Bible is saying, do not have. Don't be fearful. Don't be filled up and dominated by a heart of fear. Maybe we could call it an obsessive concern about the things that might harm you. So there is something to being afraid, but then not being afraid or walking in fear. How do we refuse to live in fear? As I said, there are many things that are going on around us today that can cause concern and cause fear. Let me give you four things to do that'll help you refuse to live in fear. Number one, are you ready for this? This is a profound point. Pray fervently about whatever thing is causing you to be fearful. I'm talking about you name the thing. you talk to God and you say, God, my heart is upset. I've read the news. I've watched this thing. I'm concerned. Lord, help me with this. Be with me through this thing. Be with our church. Be with our society. Lord, cry out to him about the thing that is causing you a great concern. Remember back in March, April, May, when we did some memorization? One of those passages that maybe we could even quote if we tried is Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and following, or 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, this word anxiety is just a version of fear. And Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And so first of all, get into a habit of praying earnestly about the things that are causing you to be concerned. Are we doing that? Are we praying about stuff? About the things that are on your heart and your mind? Pray about those things at least as much as you scroll down your phone about them. Okay? And you will start to see some peace regarding those issues and that fear begin to go away. Number two, get factual information about the thing causing you fear. This is a simple piece of wisdom. If something goes bump in the night, you turn on the lights to see what it was. Right? Oh, it was a mouse, not a burglar. Now some of you are saying, well, that's not very comforting either. Right, but at least you know it's not a burglar, right? So you have knowledge now that is reducing your concern about whatever went bump in the night. And I think I see this, what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 when he tells his followers, guess what, you're going to be persecuted, but think about some things. Here are some facts to consider in when you start to fear. He says in verse 29 of chapter 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yeah? They're cheap. They're easy to get. And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. So God in heaven, he knows even about the cheapest bird that you could buy at the market, he's aware of it when it falls to the ground. What's the point? He knows all about your fears. He knows all about your life and the things that could harm you. And then he goes on to say, listen, you're more valuable than all those sparrows. And also think about this. Don't worry about the people that can hurt you physically. What about your soul? That needs to be the thing you're concerned about more. And as a side note, I would say one of my concerns as we've gone through this pandemic is that I've seen many people that I even respect and love who seem to be more concerned about people getting physically sick from this virus than about the losses that are happening spiritually to the body of Christ from this. And I think we need a balance. We need to realize, yes, this is a physical concern, but let's not act in a fearful way that brings spiritual harm to thousands of people, hundreds of people that our ministries are no longer reaching because we're acting in fear. I'm concerned about that. And I think Jesus' statement, listen, don't be so concerned about just about the body. Think about honoring and fearing God. He's the one we should honor the most. So get factual information about the things related to whatever you're fearful of, whether it's that thing that goes bump on the night and you turn on the light, you see what's going on, or whether it's getting educated about the virus itself, the thing that's happening. And I think if you're fearful about this, I would recommend that you take some time to study some good material about the virus. We know way more about it than we did back in March. But some people are acting and talking as if we don't know anything more than what we knew in March when people were stealing or taking toilet paper off the shelf at Costco like they were going to run out any second. But guess what? We know a lot more about this. They know how to treat it better now. you know, more about the mortality rate and so forth. And so some of those facts can help you deal with your concerns about COVID-19. Spend some time getting some factual information about the thing. And even if that factual information brings about, yes, very great concerns about your physical health, God will still be with you then, but at least you know what you're dealing with and not something that's a made-up fear or something that's been turned into something that maybe is not warranted by the facts. Every week I take a look at the OHA weekly report. I go to the OHA website, I download it, I look at that. Because, brothers and sisters, media, do I need to say anything more about that? Okay? And just realize that they can only give you a short little snippet at the top of the hour. And sometimes it's the thing that's the most fearful. And next thing you know, your anxiety is being raised. Go and take some time if that is something causing you concern. And this is true about anything that's going to lead to your fear. Number three, take reasonable precautions. David sang wonderful songs about faith and trust in God. You notice that, right? I won't fear. I trust in the Lord. But when Saul was getting ready to kill him, what did he do? He took some reasonable precautions and he got out of town. He hid in caves. He even went into a foreign country because it was so dangerous for him to stay where he was, especially when he was fearing God above all. This is a great study, and I didn't really get into this too much, but think about it. It was David's fear for God that led him to have to take some other things. He could have killed Saul. He had him in his grasp at least twice, but his fear for God led him to a higher thing. I will not kill God's anointed. And so that led him to do some other things to preserve his safety. We see this in the New Testament as well. The great Apostle Paul, who had great and wonderful faith, was still let down outside of a city in a basket one time to escape danger to his personal self. And so I see in that this sense that it is consistent with faithfulness to take reasonable precautions in a situation where you may be in danger. But reasonable is the key word. And some may debate whether that is what is reasonable and what is not. But that principle, I think, should be there. Ever seen a TV show where somebody walks into another person's apartment, the guy shuts the door, and he locks one lock, he locks another lock, he locks another lock, and then puts down this big board in front of it, right? And the guy looks at him like, something's weird with this, right? Somebody's more fearful than what is reasonable, especially if you live in a decent place. And so I think we can all agree that there's this reasonableness that we're all going to have to wrestle with about what the precautions are. And my brother over here may have a different sense of what reasonable is than my sister over here. And it may come down to the factual information, knowing that his family is more susceptible to this, or his situation physically, medically, is more fragile, and people he lives with that he works with, and so he's taking certain precautions for him that are reasonable, whereas for another person aren't. And that we need to have grace toward one another in our individual decisions that we make regarding this. Can I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Okay. Because our society's being torn apart about this, and I, as we've said earlier on in the summer, let it not be true of us. Let's have grace toward one another on how we take these reasonable precautions. But the phrase that I have kind of come to and that I'm trying to live out is to be careful but not fearful regarding the pandemic. I'm trying to be careful but not fearful, and to live out where I'm being reasonable about it but not walking in fear of this thing. I want to trust in God, and I will not succumb to fear-mongering, panic, or doomsday talk. God is God. He is victorious. And as we'll see next week, He reigns. He still reigns. Number four, live as if God really is God. Figure out a way to live out life, even in difficult times, in fearful times, in dangerous situations, like a pandemic or civil unrest and so forth, that shows that you still believe that God really is God. And as I was reading through these passages in the Bible on fear, I ran across one that I just want to share with you. if I can find it here in this fairly new Bible that I'm working through, in Isaiah chapter 44. Because in the middle of this section, there is a statement about not being afraid or fearful. And what surrounds that statement is simply a bunch of stuff about who God is. As if knowing who God is drives out fear. Listen to this, what Isaiah says. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from the old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. Here's what I think we need to embrace. When you are dealing with fears and concerns, whether it's about a pandemic, or about unrest, or about climate change, or about forest fires, or whatever you're dealing with in your life, or family troubles, stuff like that. Remember who God is, and there's three things about God that we've got to keep in mind. Number one, He is all-powerful. Amen?
Amen?
He really is all-powerful. He is the first, He's the last, He's everything in between. And He's more powerful than anything you are afraid of. I believe there is a VeggieTales song that goes something like that. God is bigger than the boogeyman, or something like that, right? And it really is true. Do you believe it? Do you rest? Do you hold on to that in the midst of fear? Number two, God is present with us. We read that wonderful Psalm 23 earlier. We're in the middle of that. God is with me, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God is present with His people. Jesus is with the disciples in the boat. Listen, if you know who I am, you don't have to worry about the fact that, ooh, there's some waves. Remember, you're in the boat with Jesus. There's some waves, there's some difficulties. Guess what? God is more powerful than all that, and He is with you. And number three, God is a promise keeper, and He's promised good things to His righteous ones. He will take care of you, and He will take care of me, if we will fear Him, trust Him, and have faith in Him. There are many different passages we could continue to look at, but I think that's enough. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, let us be people of faith and not fear. Let us be careful during this time of uncertainty, a pandemic, where every day it seems like we get some different or contradictory thing and information out about it. Okay, let's be careful, but let us not be fearful. Let us not walk in fear. No matter what comes to us in the next little while, lean into your faith like never before. Grow in your trust in God. And may He really be our faithful one. Whom shall I fear? I will fear only God. And I will trust in Him through all of our concerns and anxieties. We're going to sing a song here in a minute. Trust and obey, right? And I want you to think about that in terms of all of our concerns, whether it's family issues you're dealing with that you're worried about, whether it's worried about your economy or your job or this pandemic or what you see happening up in Portland with protests or around the country, whatever it is, I want you to think about all that in light of what He says in this song, Trust and Obey. But let's pray quickly and then Grant's going to lead us in the song. Father in heaven, please be with us. We seek to be people of faith, not fear. We know that there are difficult situations around us today, but I pray, Father, that we will be people, when others look at us, when others look at our church, they will see faith. But that's the dominant theme in our lives, in our hearts, in our actions. And that they will want to know what kind of faith that is and want it for themselves. Help us, Lord, as we wrestle. There are many who are different stages of faith. Some who are just new, and they're learning how to be trusting in You during difficult times. And then there are others who are far down the road, and they're not worried about anything because they've seen You be faithful to them in multiple times throughout their life. Help us all to bear with one another, to love each other, and help each other grow during these difficult times. It's in Christ's holy name that I pray. Amen.